All right, I'm going to talk to you tonight about Jesus' role in all of this, because he has the role, big, big role. He wants to introduce you to the Father. You have to understand he came to introduce you to the Father. You're going to be introduced to him first. Now, I know why it's so great to be with him. Why he wanted us to have that. I want to take you through some things, and some of these things you might know and heard, and give it to you in a new light. Show you some aspects of him. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit's God. The Father's God. But they have a role that they play in this dispensation. And we're going to look at some of that tonight, because it's important, because he's going to help you get to the Father. He really wants you to be there. I'm going to run through the book of John real in like 5 minutes. I'm going to just give you some scriptures. If you're taking notes, I want you to just turn to it, mark it, move on. Okay? I want you to see all of this. I just pulled out about 8 to 10 references here. I'm going to read these references to you. I want you to see something about him. We'll start with John 5, verse 19. I'm going to try not to comment too much. John 5, 19. Let me tell you this. Yesterday, last night, I got caught up and he spoke to me. He said, you know what I ministered in? He goes, I didn't minister under the anointing like you understand it. He goes, I ministered under life. Where I went, the Holy Spirit anointed the life. It was the same life that raised you from the dead. It's the same life that raised me from the dead. As the Father had life in himself, he goes, that life can only be released from the heavenlies. But that life, when it's released under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything that's dead will live. When it's released, that's when the dead gets raised. When it's released, dead bodies, dead cells come in line. Everything that needs repair gets repaired immediately. He said that's what predominantly we'll be ministering in the near future. He goes, but I don't want to release that kind of power until I thoroughly ground you in the depth of my love, because everything must be undergirded by love first, because power will pervert things. See, you get too much power and not enough foundation, you can work against the ways of God. So here's what we want. We want revelation that gets us to the Father, love. I pray you be rooted and grounded. We always look at that like from an earthly position. You're not rooted and grounded in his love in the earth. You're rooted and grounded there. That's why he wanted to get you there and then root you there and ground you there. Because there's a strong capacity. See, he roots you and grounds you. So it's revelation, love, life, power. Those four will pretty much transform the earth. Amen. And it will change the earth. That kind of love will change everything. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus, said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son. The Son could have done these things, but he did not take that role. When he came to the earth, you need to understand his mission. He did not come to represent himself. He came to represent the Father. When he spoke the words, he did not speak his words. He spoke the Father's words. He can do nothing. That's the role he took. He could have been anointed with the power of the Son, but he came as a man and is anointed of the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's very important. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He didn't come in his own will. He came by the will of the Father. The Father sent him. Amen? That's very important that we understand his mission, because we need to understand what the gospel in this dispensation is about. John 7, verse 15 and 16. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Well, I mean, he lived in the heavenlies. What do you think? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. He's the Word. Because I am the Word, but my doctrine is not mine. You have to understand, he came as a man. And he came as your brother. I'll get that in a minute. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. I'm not even speaking my words. I'm speaking his words. The doctrine you hear is not my doctrine. It's from him that sent me. Okay? Verse 28, verse 29. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me and you know from where I am. I am not come of myself. I did not come to represent myself. And when you go to him, believe it or not, he's not representing himself. There's only so much of him you're going to go into, and he's going to turn you to his purpose. He's going to turn you to the one he really loves. I'm beginning to understand how fun that is, how awesome that is. It's his good pleasure to introduce you to the Father. Jesus cried in the temple saying, you both know me. It will never diminish him as God, the Son of God. He is highly exalted. He is to be worshipped. In this dispensation, the Holy Spirit is not to be worshipped. If you try to worship him, you'll get a funny feeling. You ever try to do that? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit right now is turning that to the Lord. Because he sent, according to John 16, to reveal Christ. He said, he will receive of mine and he'll show it to you. If you try to give him the worship in this dispensation, he'll turn it to the one he's supposed to. Now with Jesus, he receives of mine. The Holy Spirit will show it. And what he's talking about is the inheritance I purchased for you. He's going to show you that. He's going to get you connected to the Lord. And now Jesus can be worshiped in this dispensation because he is your mediator. But then again, when you excel into the Lord, he's also going to turn you to the Father. Some people don't agree with that. That's fine if you don't. I've never been able to stand there and worship the Holy Spirit. I can honor him, but I can't worship him. I get a real unusual feeling. Now you will. Listen to this. Once this dispensation's over, you will worship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? You can take that however you want to take it. All right? He goes, I am not come of myself, verse 28, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. He's not talking about you. He's talking about the guys who wanted to kill him in that chapter. So you can go, whew. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me to talk to you. Chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. You see the yieldedness? You see that he didn't come to represent himself? That's huge. Because he's come to introduce you to the Father. His whole life mission was to introduce you to his love, to his glory, to his joy. Verse 29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. All right. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, he sent me. Now, if he keeps telling them that, there's a reason why he keeps telling you that. All right? Chapter 12, verse 49. I have not spoken of myself. When you represent the Father through the name of the Lord Jesus, you won't speak of yourself either. Not have that kind of power, you won't. There is a message that God ordains in the earth. When the message pleases him, he'll back the message and the messenger. We got to get the message right. Find out why he came. He did not come for you to get saved and sit in the gate of salvation all your life and camp at baseline salvation. That is not why he came. He came to open the heavens for you, to grant you access to the greatest joy you could ever possibly know, ever possibly experience. Nothing in eternity is like it. He came to give that to you, both in himself, because you're in him, but he came to introduce you to the Father. That's why he goes, I don't come to represent myself. Could have. But he sent me. Chapter 12, I have not spoken to myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. Look at that. Verse 49, what I should say, what I should speak. Every word that he said, especially that was captured in John, every word of this New Testament was specifically in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, given expressly by the Father. It's what the Father wanted you to know. And the Son came, not speaking of himself. He represented the one that was speaking. These words are the words of the Father. It's what he wants you to know. Amen. John 14. I got a glimpse into this today and I lost it. I'm learning. I'm telling you. There's some heavy stuff in heaven. There's some heavy stuff in the Word. I can go through whole books and just almost touch something new. You think as you already know, and you just touch something new and you glimpse into it and you lose it. But then in your next pass, you never know when you're passing through that it won't explode. There's two major explosions going on, Revelation and the heavenly's love. Soon the river of life will start flowing and power. When you pass through, see, your spirit, your mind, whether you know it or not, is still in darkness. See, it has, the word has to penetrate that darkness. See, and the glorious light that's in this book is what does that. And when you're passing through and you're passing through and I'll just meditate and meditate and all of a sudden I'll glimpse into something. I'll say, oh, and I miss it because it went like that. And it's like you have to be patient, you know. So the next day I'm looking again. I'm going right back through that book, right back through it. Like whole book of Hebrews is a whole image. See? The book of John's a whole image. Ephesians, there's a whole bunch in Ephesians we haven't tapped. There's probably five levels we haven't tapped at all. You can't tap them the first round because you're going, he's got to explode something. It's like right hand of the Father's becoming normal around here. You realize you can go to a full gospel and start talking about the right hand of the Father, mature people, and they start looking at you like, because their concept is not really heaven. Yeah, I know I'm raised with him. But their concept is not the reality of being raised in him and being there. That's not a reality. John 14, Philip said unto him, verse 8, kind of the wrong thing to say at the wrong time. Show us the Father, that it sufficeth us. Now, I just told you about seven times he didn't come to represent himself. This is why he goes, look, did I not tell you, Philip? Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long time? This is the Father really saying this. And yet you've not known me, Philip? This is like the Father kind of speaking through the Son. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? See, you have to understand something. The Father is going to overtake you. When he overtakes you, then you'll represent him. You can't represent him without knowing his love because you can't really know him. You just have a concept of him. You might have a full gospel concept of him. But until you start being loved of him on a daily basis where you've tapped the love and the love's flowing and overwhelming and rooting you and driving stuff out and lifting you and overtaking you, then you start understanding him, see. And then you start understanding the mission of the Lord, why he's so awesome. And you start understanding that you'll get to be with him for eternity like this. And the thoughts are just amazing when you're in the glory, that you get to experience this unfolding glory for eternity, because each day it's getting better. And it's unfolding glory. Then you start getting to know him, see. What you thought you knew him because you have a revelation of him, but you can't just know him by revelation. You got to experience him. Do you understand that? I've known God for a long time by revelation. Thank God we've got doctrinal integrity. But just knowing him by revelation is not enough. You've got to experience him. To know him, you've got to experience him. And he's very wonderful. He's so wonderful. Philip, you've been with me. Who do you think's doing the works, Philip? Who do you think speaking? Who do you think, when you walk with me and the Father comes over me and the presence you feel and the love where I've loved you with, who do you think supplying that? I told you I didn't come of myself. I'm not speaking of myself. I took upon the seed of Abraham to represent you before him. Verse 10, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself. Moreover, the Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works. He is the one healing these people. He's the one setting them free. You have the exact same message, except you do it through his name. You do it through the name of Jesus. You are representing the Father in the name that is above every other name. Kind of a new concept. That's why you got to get the message right. It's hard to get the message when you've heard things all your life. You got to have to really get in the Word, let him rearrange you, see. Look at chapter 10 real quick, verse 24 and 25. That's why we got to keep teaching. I know everyone's ready to get on with the power. Get on with the revival, John 10. You need the love and the depth of revelation. You won't depart from him if you're truly loved of him. When you touch his love, you won't leave it. Anybody that could touch that kind of love and walk from it, I would not understand that. John 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us. Jesus told them, I says, I told you, and you didn't believe me. He goes, the works that I do in my Father's name. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look at verse 37. If I do not the works, whose works? Of my Father, John 10, 37, do not believe me. We're going to get to preach the gospel like this very soon. It's going to be quite a change. Once it's there in have a carnival for someone to come to Jesus. We don't do nothing. Stand here and see if he doesn't show up. Don't believe what we're saying. But if he does, you'll have to make a decision that's going to blow your mind. Amen? God has no problem backing people with that. Just got to know who you're representing. You got to have his love to represent him like that. Jesus is going to put you right into him. John 10, verse 37. And if I do not, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me. I want you to understand my message. I did not come of myself. I am not here to represent myself. I'm here to open a gate for you. I'm representing another one. Does that diminish him? God, no. God highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name. He is the firstborn. He is the head, and everything in heaven and earth is under his feet. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to see this. Because when I am in, I mean, he's the risen, exalted king, and you're glorifying him like that, you know, and the risen, exalted Savior, and you're caught up into him. But sometime he's going to take the role of your brother to introduce you to our Father. Before I take you there, I need you to see it in John. Go real quick to John. John is the most fabulous book. You could spend a lifetime in there. John will deliver you further into God than probably any other book. John chapter 20. This is when he's still at the grave. He's come out of hell, but he hadn't gone up yet. So he's standing around his gravesite, and he meets Mary there. I like verse 15. Jesus said, "Woman," he said, "why do you weep? Whom do you see?" She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." See, all you had to do is say that, Mary. She knew it. She turned herself, see, said unto him, "Oh, Master, oh, Master." Jesus said, this is the first words he said to her. This was his mission. He did it right here. Verse 17, Jesus said to him, "Touch me not. I'm not ascended to my Father. But go tell my brethren and say to him, I ascend unto my Father and your Father now." I've done it. He's now your Father. And you have what I have with him because I gave you my place. Is the firstborn. He's got a place with God. You'll never equal that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not like that. You're never going to be equal to that level of deity. Never would want to be. But as the firstborn, he received the inheritance of the Father and gave it to you. His position. As Father and Son, he made you a joint heir. God is your Father. And he wants to reveal himself to you. And he really in the family. He likes his kids to spend time with him. Amen. All right, you can go to Hebrews 2 now. Hebrews 2 and 10. Verse 10, "For it became him." Hebrews 2 and 10, "For whom are all things, and by whom are all things." Look at this. "In bringing many sons unto glory." Where did he bring you? From dust to glory. Brought you into the glory of the Father. It became him. "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth." That's Jesus. "And they who are sanctified," that's you, "are all of one." Amplify got this one right. You can put parentheses right there and say, one Father. "Both he that's sanctifying through the blood and they that are sanctified," you are now of one Father. He shared that place with you. That's why he came. He didn't come to speak of himself. He came to introduce you to the Father. And my God, he's awesome to hang around. He will overtake you with a love that's not of this world. He'll make you so brand new. He'll melt defenses and insecurities off of you. He'll make you like transparent glass. You can walk around free of all fear. You're not afraid. You don't have to hide. There's no more shame. There's no more condemnation. He'll make you feel like $1 billion. He'll give you such esteem as a son. You can walk around with your shoulders back and your head high. Nothing can give you like that. No self-confidence seminar. What's that? They used to do subconscious subliminal, you know, transformation techniques. Layer the subliminal messages deep into the tape and then listen to it, and you sow a million subliminal messages. I am a good person. I am a good person. You won't find that out of your mind. You're trying to rearrange a fallen mind. You need your spirit to be seated with a very, very good person. And when that very good person starts loving you, that love will start pouring up into your mind. And when it does, it'll start transforming your mind, see, with the nature of love that's not of the world. You cannot transform your mind because it's fallen, part of a fallen nature, subliminally. There's a lot of program that went into your mind. Do you understand that? So what they do, they layered subliminal tapes and with messages on them, and they listen, subliminal thinking. The problem is you're still dealing with the product of a fallen world, but see, your spirit's not. It's in another place. He's seated in the heavenlies. So when that comes out of the heavenlies, when God fills you with tangible love, not just revelation, but tangible love, that love will then pour into your soul. It'll pour into your emotions. It'll pour into your mind. It'll pour into every part of you. When it fills it up, your mind will start taking upon the nature and the mind of Christ, filled with the foundation of God's love and peace. That love brings a value and a significance because it's coming from another place. It reaches in, and that's how you transform your mind to the image of God. See? Your mind takes upon that nature that's being poured into your spirit. Follow me? Verse 11. Yeah, we're all of one Father. Oh, hallelujah to that. He that sanctified and they that are sanctified, we're of the one Father. He is his Father. He is your Father. You are raised with him. Isn't that awesome? For which cause he's not ashamed to call you a brother. He took a role in this dispensation because he took upon the nature and the seed of Abraham. He did not come to represent himself, came to represent the Father, and he's not ashamed to call you a brother. And now, not only is God his Father, he's your Father too. And he's not ashamed to call you a brother. God adopted you. Now you could say, Abba, Father, I've been adopted into the kingdom. I have a brother. Sometime when you're in there and the Father's loving you, he will be there next to you as a brother. Do you understand that? Sometimes in your approach, he will be the risen and exalted King, the risen and exalted Savior, and you'll be worshiping him. Okay? But then when he starts to introduce you to the Father, he steps out of that role and becomes your brother, because now he's in his role to represent you before the Father. Do you get that? It's very important you see that. I'm introducing, because the Word of God will do that. It'll introduce new thoughts, but it's not new thoughts. It's just been there the whole time. Did he say, I'm not ashamed to call you brother? Is he your brother? Okay, that's very real then. He's also your risen King and your Savior, the Prince of Life. He's also God. Saying, I will declare thy name, verse 12, to my brethren in the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God or the Father has given me. Verse 14, he's pulling that out of the Psalms. You have to remember, Paul didn't have a New Testament to read from like you did. He had to pull that revelation out of the old. See? Verse 14, love this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. He became a man. That's when he became your brother. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you know what he did? God pulled a strain of DNA, somewhat like the strain he pulled out. When he breathed into Adam, he pulled another strain of DNA, and he impregnated Mary's womb with that DNA. You follow me? So when he was born, he wasn't born so much like you. He was born as a man, but he had a spirit like the one you have now. He was alive unto God. Now what he did after he fulfilled his ministry, when he was on the cross, the Holy Spirit withdrew, and your dead spirit flooded into him. All the sin and death by where the devil was controlling the human race from their spirit, he took that nature and he pulled it into the cross. And that's why he said, when he looked at him, he said his visage was marred more than any man in his form, the sons of men, because the law of sin and death caused him to contort for becoming your sin. It overtook him. God turned his back on him. And then he went into hell and he buried your fallen nature because you went down there with him. Then for 3 days, he had to suffer that penalty. He wasn't in there having a party down there. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. So the Father came and got him. In the process of all that, he had purchased a brand new law because he gave himself as an innocent lamb. Then a new law was born and the Holy Spirit took that law into the belly of hell. The law of the Spirit of life. And he raised him, sat him down at his right hand. They sat you there with him. That's why the Father will never, ever deny you, not ever. Because the part of you that's coming up there is not flesh and blood. You are a new creation. And the part of you that makes entrance through the Son is a new creation that was purchased with his death, and he will not deny your entrance. The only thing keeping you is your own veils and the veil of the world system, and you will overcome them. God is not denying you, not ever. Your faith will reach through that veil. You'll find he'll never denied you. He died for you to be with the Father. You're not subject to bondage anymore because he took that part of you out of you. You still got a body. And your soul needs transformation, but your spirit does not belong to this kingdom of this world anymore. You were translated out. When you get the revelation of that, you start believing that, you'll start moving into that place. I sit there sometime and I say, you are my Father. I am your Son. I am your Son. I have every right to be here. I am worthy. I am very special. You know why? He's your brother, your high priest, and your mediator. All of these things, he's not representing himself. He's representing both the Father to you and you to the Father. As a mediator, he's ever living to make intercession for you, to bring you to the glories of the Father. He says that my joy that I've had with him will start getting fulfilled in you. You start hanging around with him. What you need to look for is not an angel to walk through your room, even though the angels walk. Don't worry about that right now. They walk, you know, say hello. But don't be having a lot of conversation with angels. Listen, they'll come. They'll bear a message. If they come to you, they're bearing a message to you. It won't be the kind that came to Joseph Smith either. You understand? Listen, what God would rather you get accustomed to right now, I promise you this, is his love. Look, seek, search for the bosom, the heart of the Father, to start getting loved of the Father. This is more important on God's agenda right now than anything else. You move into the love. You do that by the revelation of who you are. Let me give you something that will help you a lot in your approach. Most of what's keeping you out is your own or insecurities. Unbelief that nobody thinks they have. Unbelief is the number one thing that keeps you out. All of this can be overcome. Amen? What is all this for? Maybe to make you effective in the earth? That's a fruit. What's really for? Ask Jesus. Why did you die? So I could come to the Father? You wouldn't ask that question if you're in the Father and start experiencing his love. You'd be going, oh, thank you for coming. So I could be with him. I see. Oh, I see, Kimosabi. I see. I'm going to run through this in case you want to enter into the right hand between now and then. I want you to see some very important scriptures. All right? I'm going to run through these, and we're going to get into the mediators. Lord willing, he could change all that between now and then. We're going to get into the high priest. Very important, the high priest had to cleanse not the earth, the heavens too. He had to go and cleanse the heavens. There was iniquity in the heavens. He had to cleanse the heavens. He had to go with the blood, had to go to the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, you don't have to go there. Therefore, if any man Christ, he is a new creature. Why is that important? That's the part of you that's going to inherit the kingdom. That's the part of you that has the passport. Your flesh does not go into the Holy of Holies. It does not go into the kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The new creation is the one that makes entrance. Therefore, you need to know that the spiritual man in you has been recreated by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That's the man that's going in. You are a new creation because you are. You've been granted citizenship. Because you have citizenship, you have a right to go in. Why is that important? Because when you experience the veil of this world system that tries to tell you, you can't go over there, you have to start prophesying yourself. No! I am a citizen of the kingdom. I am a new creation. It says it right here. I am a new creation. I have the right to go in there. Then the devil will start reminding you of your faults. Why you're not holy enough to go in there. If you just carry that one scripture in there, he is holy. Your new man is holy. He's holy as it comes. He's been forever perfected. He has a right. Trust me, the Father's not up there denying you. He can't wait for you to get there. He requires you come by faith. Faith. Jude 1, verse 24. All these you're going to need, trust me, especially when the devil starts reminding of who you were or who you might be now. Listen, do you think that God's going to perfect you here? Not much perfection going on down here. Have you noticed that? I've pastored for a long time. Not a whole lot of perfection going on down here. The true perfection's going on up there. So you got to get up there to be perfected, but then the devil tells you, you're not good enough to go up there. But I'm going up there to get perfected. But yeah, but you're not good enough to make entrance. So you got to pull out, load that gun, say, listen to me, buddy. And here's what you're going to load it with. Jude 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, where are you falling from? And to present you. Oh, wow. I'm a present. You are a present. Present you faultless before what? The presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's presenting you faultless. So when you go up there and you start getting reminded of your faults, and no. I'm being presented faultless. I'm being presented faultless. Yeah, but you know what you did this morning? So that was my flesh. My spirit, I'm being presented faultless, my flesh and blood does not inherit that place. It's my new creation that inherits. I love this one. Go to Colossians 1, You can read Ephesians 1:6 later, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made you accepted in the beloved. Have made you. Everyone say, he hath made us. Hath made me accepted. So you're accepted today, but tomorrow, hey, God says, there's just something about you I don't like today. That's what you feel like when you go up, though. You feel like something's stopping me. God, how come I can't come in? Like, he has something to do with you not coming in. Listen, the heavens are always open from his point of view. It's just your point of view is what's got to change. Amen? Now, listen to this. He hath made you accepted, Ephesians 1 and 6. Now, you got to get this. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things, Colossians 1 and 20, to reconcile, look at this, reconcile all things to himself. God was reconciling you to him through him. Through the Son, the Father was reconciling you all the way unto himself through the Son. Verse 21, you were sometimes alienated in your minds, enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh. We described how he did that earlier. Through death. Look at this. It's very important. This makes the difference of you going in and not going in. These are the things you must understand, because it's your own unbelief you got to get through. You got to know who you are going in. Don't think you're some worm. God, that sounds good, but he doesn't accept that kind of unbelief. Not after what his Son did. Oh, I'm just, you know, Father, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not worthy to come to your presence. Well, you won't go in. If you don't think what he did enough going to the cross to made you worthy, God considers that. You consider that humble religion. God considers that utter unbelief. Do you understand that? You're not going in like that, thinking like that, believing like that. God says, no, uh-uh. You won't make it. To present you, verse 22, you need to get this scripture so deep in you, to present you holy and unblameable, without blame, unreprovable in his sight. When you're going in and you feel the walls, this is what I do. Jesus, because he's your mediator, see, you're going through the mediator. You're going through the high priest. When I come before the Lord, I'm just going to help you. When I first go, the first person I check in with is the Lord. That's where I start repenting right there. Because I'm going to him, I ask him, wash me, cleanse me, I anoint myself, I ask forgiveness of my sins and all that. Wash me, see, because I'm coming to him. Because I'm getting washed of just traveling stains, you know. I may have done something, you know. Anna may have yelled at me or something, you know. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I may have caught a bigger fish than Chuck and I got proudful about it, you know. I don't know. Which happens a lot, you know, so I have to watch that pride coming on me like that. So what happens is I come to the Lord and I ask, forgive me. But then once I get to him, now I'm not feeling nothing at this point, but he is my mediator. He is my high priest. He's going to bring me to the Father. That's why it was important tonight for you to know what his mission was. What was his mission? He didn't come to represent himself. He's bringing you to the Father. All right. So when I come to him, I know he's going to bring me to the Father. At that point, everything shifts. There's no more repenting. Because he's going to represent me and present me faultless before the Father. He presents me as a forever perfected being. Hebrews 10:14, a new creation. Father, I present them as a new creation. They are in me, Father. I present them faultless. I present them holy, harmless, without blame, and unreprovable in your sight. And I thank you, Father, as their high priest that ever liveth to make intercession, I brought them to you. And I thank you, Father, they are accepted in me because you accept me. And now they are my brothers and I bring them to you. He acts as a brother, a high priest, and a mediator all together in one to bring you to the Father. That's why when you go in there, Father, no, I am presented holy today by the Son. I'm being presented. I am without blame today. I am without reproach today. I am holy. I am a new creation, and I have rights to be here. I am loved. See, you keep doing that. Then you're going to start making entrance. Because one day the veil is going to break, and all of a sudden you're going to get swooped up in the love of the Father. See, you know that. Now, another thing I do to help you is a lot of times I'll feed on the right hand of God. I'll feed into Scripture first. I'll read the Word and feed. It doesn't take forever to get in, but I'm feeding to get my spirit full, see. And then I go to Jesus, and I know He's going to bring me to the Father. What you want to look for more than anything at this stage is the love. Look for the love. Amen? Everyone say, look for the love. Father, we thank You that You've given us abundant entrance into glory. Jesus, You've brought many sons to glory, and a whole generation's coming to the right hand. You're going to anoint us with a commission to speak the right hand. But Father, this is the ones who've birthed this place. Father, I thank You for honoring the sons and daughters that were here in the birth of this glorious message. That Father, we're all brothers here, and You draw us. Holy Spirit, lead us. Jesus, present us. Father, receive us and love us.